For more on the story, let's take you live to Washington now and to our U.S. correspondent, Simon Marks. Simon, good afternoon to you. We know that Volodymyr Zelensky's visit did go ahead in South Africa, but was cut short following overnight attacks on his country by Russia. What was the response in Washington?
Yeah, I mean, this has been several hours of very dramatic developments. First of all, news of that conversation between President Ramaphosa and President Trump. The White House has not commented at all. There's been no readout of that conversation. But the White House has certainly taken note of the airstrikes by Russia on the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, that resulted in President Zelensky shortening his visit to South Africa. In a message on his own social media platform, Truth Social, President Trump, just an hour ago, wrote, "I am not happy with the Russian strikes on Kyiv. Not necessary and very bad timing." He then goes on to write, "Vladimir, stop," in all capital letters with an exclamation mark after the word stop. 5,000 soldiers a week are dying, claims President Trump. Let's get the peace deal done. So President Trump on social media today expressing irritation with Vladimir Putin over those airstrikes, whereas just 24 hours ago, President Trump, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Vice President J.D. Vance were all expressing tremendous frustration with Volodymyr Zelensky. President Trump was arguing that President Zelensky, by attempting to negotiate the proposed peace agreement that the United States has brokered publicly, was undermining it. And there was fury within the White House and the State Department over President Zelensky's insistence that he's not willing to agree to cede forever Crimea to the Russians, which is something that the United States is trying to force him to do. So now where all of this leaves the Ukrainian peace process, I think, is very unclear. But certainly it was noted here in Washington that President Zelensky cut that visit to South Africa short because of those airstrikes by the Russians on the Ukrainian capital. And President Trump now pleading publicly with Vladimir Putin to call his forces off.
But not noted, Simon, that President Donald Trump and President Ramaphosa spoke on the peace process in Ukraine, or that they agreed to meet to speak on various other matters.
Yeah, let me say that in the current White House, that is not unusual. Traditionally, past presidents, excluding the Trump first term, have always provided us with readouts of all the conversations that the president of the United States, whoever he is, has with foreign leaders. This White House is not as routine as that. So we know, for example, that President Trump had a phone conversation earlier this week with Prime Minister Netanyahu, but we don't really know who else he's spoken to. And certainly there was no indication of that call with President Ramaphosa appearing on the U.S. president's daily schedule that is distributed to reporters every single day. Now, it's possible that later in the day, President Trump will make some kind of announcement about his call with President Ramaphosa. Remember, he has been very outspoken about the U.S. relationship with South Africa, really consigning it into the deep freeze, resulting, of course, in the expulsion just a few weeks ago of Ambassador Ibrahim Rasool, stripped of his diplomatic credentials and shown the door by the United States. As President Trump and Marco Rubio have both stated as fact the claim that Afrikaner farmers in South Africa are having their land taken away from them without compensation. So it's been very important, I think, for the presidency to find a way of setting up a leader-level conversation between President Trump and President Ramaphosa. But as to the content of that conversation from the American side's view, we have no information about that. And when a meeting might take place, where a meeting might take place, what the format will be between these two two leaders who have got so much to discuss in terms of the bilateral relationship and, of course, the G20 summit due to take place in South Africa in November. We just have no idea when it might occur.
Well, President Cyril Ramaphosa has commented on the discussion he had with the US President, Simon, and he says, quote, "We both agreed to meet soon to address various matters regarding US-South Africa relations. We also spoke about the need to foster good relations between our two countries." It is still early in Washington. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. So there might still be some comment from the White House a little later on today and in the afternoon, Simon. But I wonder if indeed there is a confirmation of this discussion between these two nations, what it might signal in terms of easing those frosty relations that you've described.
Well, I think that's the absolute key question, isn't it? I mean, not least because Donald Trump has got voices in his ear that are very, very critical of the South African government and indeed have largely driven the process that resulted in the expulsion of Ambassador Rasool and the consigning of the relationship to the terrible place where it finds itself, driven, as you were saying earlier, not just by the Expropriation Act, but also by anger within the Trump administration over South Africa's role bringing those war crimes charges against Benjamin Netanyahu at the ICJ. So if President Trump is now indicating that he is willing to meet President Ramaphosa and try to iron some of these issues out, that would certainly give the South African president an opportunity to try and correct some of the disinformation that the President of the United States and his Secretary of State have espoused as far as the Expropriation Act is concerned. The US president has said that human rights abuses are being committed in South Africa by the government. He's frozen all US aid to South Africa. And, of course, South Africa has the not insignificant issues that the rest of the world is facing in terms of trade barriers and tariffs with the US. So there is a lot for the two of them to try and iron out. And they're supposed to be meeting at the G20 in South Africa in November, because President Ramaphosa is supposed to hand over the gavel of the G20 to President Trump, who will be hosting next year's Leaders Summit here in the United States. So whether all of this indicates that President Trump is now more willing to try and find a way out of the very problematic thicket in which he has placed the bilateral relationship, I think is a question for today, but it's also a question for tomorrow and next week, because we have to wait and see how the figures that have the president's ear on South Africa, including, you know, people like Joel Pollack of Breitbart News, who write extensively about South Africa on that right-leaning website, how they view this news from President Ramaphosa and what they have to say about it.
Certainly. Simon, how is the US State Department reacting to the arrival of South Africa's finance minister and Reserve Bank governor in Washington this week? Is it being treated as routine, or is it particularly diplomatically sensitive?
Well, I think it is diplomatically sensitive because they are the first, well, the most senior officials from South Africa to visit Washington, D.C. since the expulsion of Ambassador Rasool. They're here, of course, for the IMF World Bank spring meetings. I mean, it is limousine gridlock in Washington, D.C. this week, as it always is in this particular week when that big annual event is taking place. And they are doing a couple of different things. I mean, they're hoping to meet with Treasury officials here, of course, to try and deal with the tariff issues. There's a long line of foreign governments that want meetings with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and other Treasury officials to see if they can find a way out of the punitive tariffs that the United States has put in place against countries all over the world. But they're also trying to advance the G20 agenda with side meetings with G20 governments that are preparatory and focusing on the agenda for G20, which the United States has said it objects to, including elements like climate change, diversity, inclusivity, equity, all of those issues very much off America's agenda at government level at this point. So most of their meetings focused on G20 prep and the United States Treasury, less so on the State Department, because this really is a week here in Washington, D.C. that is all about, it's all about the money. It's all about the economy. And this week, of all weeks, it's all about the trade war.
All about the money, isn't it always? Simon Marks, live to us in Washington. Simon, thanks very much indeed. Simon is Newsroom Africa's correspondent in Washington there. 12 minutes after 4 o'clock this afternoon. We've got plenty more still ahead for you, including more talk on the central bank governor's meeting and, of course, the VAT hike, the VAT increase that was meant to come into effect on the 1st of May. Which has now been rescinded. We'll have more for the after the break.